I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Hey, what's happening? Happy hump day. Good afternoon and welcome to the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Brought to you as always by our friends at Happy State Bank. You can listen in on that mobile app just about anywhere, even up in Mexican Hat, Utah, if you so choose, alongside the one and only George Christopher Sneed. I'm Choice Woodman. Clint Scott, back behind the glass, taking care of us. Also yours on television. Fox 34 News Now. We're hanging out with you till 3 o'clock today. Hey, yo, Sneeder.
What's up?
How do we do?
I'm okay.
You look springy today.
It's warm. Trying to fit in, man.
I mean, you got, like, light colors on, some baby blue pants. You look like, I mean, you're about to go to an Easter brunch or something.
Yeah. Never know.
Never know, never know when one's going to pop up.
Never know what today's going to bring.
That's true.
So, I like that. Live life like you're always going to run into a brunch somewhere.
Was that that's Andy from The Office, right?
Oh, that's what that sounds like.
Am I dressed a lot like Andy today?
No, not quite. Not quite.
Break out some acapella.
I do have my first outfit down for the old derby. It's very springy, too.
Oh, our derby?
Not our derby. Oh. Should I wear it in for that first before I go to the Kentucky Derby? I told you that. Maybe it wasn't you. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going on... What? What are you shaking your head at?
We were talking about mailbox money around here.
I have no mailbox money.
Yeah.
I just spend every bit of money I get.
Are you going to the Kentucky Derby this year?
I'm never
going
to retire. Cause
you're going to get to the...
I'm not. I won't enjoy the mint julep. Yeah. I won't get to look at all the big funny hats.
I'm not going to the Kentucky Derby.
I got
to
have two outfits because one's for the Oaks and one is for the Derby.
If you're going to the Kentucky Derby, let us know on the chat line.
I bet someone's going.
I bet there's only going to be one person that says they're going to go today.
I've already announced this. This is not...
I didn't know you were going to the Kentucky Derby.
I think it may have been on a day you're out. I don't know.
This was
on some other show. That
a
I was
jealous
on.
Of someone else getting to go when the family move, right?
Yeah, my wife has gone the previous 2 years without me. She's gone 2 years in a row with her mom. And I'm like, you're not going again without me. So
okay.
I don't think I put my foot down like that. She actually invited
Choice put his foot down and said, I'm going by myself. Neither of you are going.
She invited me. My wife did this time. So we're going. Yeah. I've got a pink blazer with the seersucker pants.
Okay. So you got some bucks?
No. Not yet.
What's the shoe of choice?
I haven't decided. I've got some white shoes that I may rock.
Kind of like mine? You're going in that direction?
Similar, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Not sure. Not sure yet, but we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. So we got a lot to get into. Red Raider basketball looked much better last night.
Yeah, they got a dub.
From the tip. That was good.
Yeah, that was kind of early domination to get off to the 12-point lead, 12-1 lead out of the gate.
That was nice.
Never kind of really, never looked back.
Red Raider baseball, they had a typical trip to Albuquerque. And
you weren't here yesterday.
Correct.
Well, I mean, I said that the winner would have double digit runs, but I also said the loser would have double digit runs.
You were close.
Yeah,
you were close.
You just can't, you can't get enough runs early in a game against those guys.
Yeah, you think 7-0 after the first two innings?
I mean,
would be pretty good.
I was, you know, it's 7-0. Going to the top of the third now, and we didn't score in the third, and I was like, we should have got some more runs.
Needed more.
Yeah, We had a chance, couldn't. But you know, sure enough, they get four of them back, and then they get four, and then they got three, and then they got one more, and then. I mean, the funny part about it was, I was more nervous when Tech was up 7-0 than I was when they were down 8-7.
Yeah, it did feel like you were going to come back.
Because you just knew, yeah, at some point, this team's going to hit its way out of it. And you knew that they were going to have a guy go out there and pitch his guts out, and that Castillo kid comes in and he just shuts Tech down for three innings. And, I was wrong. I thought the guy with the 12.75 ERA that started the game was going to come out there and career. It was a little Castillo cat. He went up there and got after it.
Yeah. So, got the win. That's what matters. Then you get to play Texas this weekend.
Oh, suddenly on a 4-game losing streak. I don't like that.
You don't like that?
No. I don't think it matters. I wish they were coming in here just red hot.
Oh, I don't want to. Baseball is a game. You don't want someone hot.
I wish.
If they had just won some games, that's fine.
I would say this. You know, down in Austin on the 40 acres, they're questioning everything right now because they did not pitch well in Houston last week.
No, they didn't.
Yeah. And they're questioning everything because right now they're a lot like us. They've got some wins piled up over a bunch of nobodies.
Yeah, both teams have had one weekend against good teams, quality teams. Mm-hmm. Tech fared a little better over that stretch, mm-hmm. a little bit, but you can argue their teams they played were a little better than the ones Tech played.
They played Vanderbilt and LSU and Texas State. I would say across the board, Tech played three better teams than.
You could say four better teams because you played Oregon State that following Wednesday too. So
yeah, well you wash out our midweek against the top 10 against their midweek against the top 10. So those are a wash. They both lost.
Yeah, so it'll be intriguing to see what happens this weekend, to say the least, because you still don't have your starting pitching all the way figured out.
No, I'll be interested to see. Who goes in that third slot? Because I don't think
you don't think Washburn's going to start.
No. I shouldn't have said that. I do think Washburn's going to start. I think the only thing that's settled right now is Kyle Robinson's going to throw Friday.
Yeah, I think Mac Huer did good enough last weekend again against Gardner Webb, but he did good enough that you're going to see him start again this weekend.
Did Zane Petty do enough to get himself back in that rotation?
No, because he pitched yesterday.
He could pitch again on Sunday.
Oh, I think he did well enough to see him in a big moment in relief, but I don't think he'll.
You don't think he'll get the ball to start?
No, I do not. I think Mac here.
It was one of the things I thought about it. I Mac followed by Zane.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Thrilled to be part of your hump day. You're listening to The Bottom Line on 100.7 Score and 107thescore.com.
Is today Wednesday?
It is a Wednesday. You sneak up, choice. Did it sneak up on you?
I've been kind of out of sorts all day.
That's all right. We'll get you into sorts. Yeah,
it's okay. I missed my all workout sorts of this trouble. Morning. I'm going to have to do my workout when I get home today.
I'll come hang out with you. And drink a soda while you work out.
That'd make you a bad person.
Does or doesn't?
Doesn't.
Okay. No, I need to work out, but then there's this time issue that's hard. This one, happy to hear the Woodman entrance music used as a bumper. Choice, how does it feel to be globally recognized as Rich Elite while actually being radio poor? That is what they call shtick. For sure. I saw that UT's on a 4-game losing streak. How concerning is that for us this weekend? You kind of talked about it.
I actually said I wish they were coming in red hot. You don't want them to get well against you, but, you know, they're questioning things right now. You're a team that's swinging it pretty good. You've been susceptible to really good pitching this year. But Tennessee and Oregon State ran out against you, and what Oregon ran out for a little while until they got into their pen. You've been able to overcome, I mean, bad pitching. I mean, you wore out bad pitching. They've been susceptible to good pitching. Let's just leave it at that. But right now, UT's not pitching very well. You know, they've got some guys that – they've got a couple of guys. Well, they got a guy on the shelf, they're working through.
You don't want to be the weekend that UT gets right.
Yeah.
That's what I –
Because they're feeling bad about themselves. You want them questioning everything when they leave town.
Absolutely.
You know, because – just as because right now, you know, they went to Global Life last week. Got worked by LSU. Got smoked by they got beat by, you know, they got walked off by Texas State, and then had an 11-3 lead midway through the game against Vandy, and lost 14-11. Kind of looked bad doing it.
Yeah,
their bullpen fell apart, and so I mean they're showing some kinks in the armor, make no mistake, that's a team that can get well in a hurry if they pitch well.
Sure, and that's where I do like. I mean, you've had some long balls this year, but it's not a team that's relied on the long ball.
No, I mean this is a kind of a doubles hitting team.
Yeah.
I mean they've hit. I mean, aren't they like leading the nation in doubles?
I think so. I think you're correct on that.
And they're up there in walks. I mean, it's a patient group. They're gonna hit their fair share of home runs, but they don't rely on it. It's not a bloop and a blast.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is a team that they can hit in the gaps, and they can hit for power when they need to. But they're gap ball hitting team.
All right, let's just flip over to basketball.
Mm-hmm.
After last night, and not after last night, after this season, Mike Boynton's out at OSU, right? Gotta be, right?
I can't imagine. I mean, great dude.
That's what everybody says. Yeah,
yeah, but unfortunately, for whatever reason, basketball has just fallen off the map in Stillwater. And for the life of me and everyone else, no one knows why, because – to be able to recruit with the history of that program,
mm-hmm.
as a tool in your tool bag, it makes me wonder. I mean, that's not a school without resources.
Yeah.
So it makes you wonder what's the disconnect in the recruiting of talent, because they're just not – it's not a talented bunch of guys.
Well, he has recruited some talent, and that's what's odd. Yeah. There's been – as far as individual pieces, he's brought some good ones there. They just haven't put it together.
See, and that's the problem when you're a coach like him, and you know, they say what you've brought in is talented, and it's not projecting to wins on the court. They start looking at you as the coach.
Yeah, it's like, okay, if it's talented and you're not developing them.
But right now, that's not a talented group of guys right now. Those guys just got outplayed and outmanned at every step of the game last night.
Yeah.
And it was they weren't competitive. And that's the problem that they really have, is that they're not competitive as a program right now.
So scenarios moving forward for Texas Tech. You sit there with right now, if the season ended today, you'd be the 4 seed
yep.
in the Big 12 tournament.
Double bye.
Which I think most people would be very happy with.
Yeah, that's a double bye.
However, winning this weekend will lock you into a double bye if Tech does that. However, it's not just that. If Kansas ends up losing to Houston, which I think most people expect
potential
at Houston,
yeah,
most people expect Kansas is going to lose. That scenario, Texas Tech pretty well gets the bye anyway.
Regardless of whether winning or losing.
Because you're still going to have – I think there's another situation with BYU. BYU's got to lose to Iowa State too. That's the other part of it.
If both of those things happen or one of those things happens?
Both have to happen with a Tech loss. If Tech wins, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Nothing matters beyond that. Tech will have the
BYU's playing where?
At Iowa State. Oof. So at Iowa State, Kansas at Houston, you feel like your chances of getting a double bye at this point are pretty darn good because of
win or lose.
You won last night, and that's what you needed. The other part is if you win Saturday, you've got a chance to leapfrog Baylor. I don't even know what side of the bracket would be better, honestly. Because playing two-seed Iowa State, potentially, is playing them in a home game at KC. We've seen that over and over. Yeah. Versus one-seed Houston, who's maybe the best team in the country. I don't know. I mean, you're picking poison.
The same thing becomes, if you're the four-seed on a double bye, is Kansas waiting for you in that double bye game when you get there?
I think Kansas would be, as of now, down at the bottom side with Iowa State. They're the six currently.
Oh,
so,
I mean, it's like going to the old Big 12 baseball tournament in the old days before the Thunder showed up and took all the fans away. You just wanted to do anything you could do not to face up with Oklahoma or Oklahoma State.
Exactly, yeah.
Until the championship game.
Yeah, because it was going to be
a home game.
Yeah. So
as much as like the 3 and 4 line is all jumbled right now, my brain can't comprehend like 5 through 10 of all the math.
What has to happen? Yeah. Yeah. I don't have a clue. It is very jumbled. But the win last night, the point I'm making is the win last night was huge.
Yeah.
The national perspective, I mean, it's a game you should have won. Sure. It's a game you won handily. Great. But the win last night was huge because it did boost you 7 spots in the net.
Yeah.
Which gets you out of the 40 range currently. And it doesn't secure your double bye in the Big 12 tournament, but it goes a long way to almost doing that. I mean, some upsets would have to happen Saturday outside of Lubbock.
So right now, if the brackets were today, we would be
the 4 seed.
The 4 seed playing the winner of game 3, which is BYU versus somebody. Game 1 winner, which is...
Versus 12-13 matchup.
UCF versus Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
So you're most likely going to face off with BYU in an 11:30 game.
Unless UCF beat BYU.
Yeah. And in a sleepy Coliseum with about, I don't know. Tech might travel, actually.
You might this year, yeah.
Yeah.
That versus the other side of it, which is if you were where Baylor is now.
Baylor is a game 6
you would get to face
winner.
Kansas.
Good luck with that.
Get to face Kansas. And if you got by Kansas, then Iowa State is the team most likely waiting on in the semis. So, honestly, the 4 seed might be the better scenario.
Wow.
Take your chances against Houston. Get your thoughts in, comments. All of it welcome on the A's Flooring Center chat line. We'll get to some of that. Kaylee's Daily coming up next. It is the bottom line on 100.7 The Score.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Happy hump day, y'all. It is the bottom line on 100.7 The Score, 100.7thescore.com. Choice Woodman, Chris Sneed joining you from the First United Bank studio. Clint Scott on the wheels taking care of us. Keep your thoughts and comments rolling in on the chat line. We'll get back to a few more of those. You can dial us up on the Visual Edge IT hotline, 806-771-0973. But at this time of the day, we like to learn.
Car. Clint. Choice.
Sup.
It's time for Kaylee's Dailies, brought to you always at this time by me. Yesterday, Kaylee says, we went to the north side of a country from down under. Today we go to the south side. featuring the Kimberly Snake Neck Turtle.
So sight.
The Kimberly Snake Neck Turtle is often found in the Kimberley region of southeastern Australia. Kind of obvious. The Kimberley Snake Neck Turtle are average size for chelonians, reaching lengths around
1 foot.
Close, 11 inches. Males are usually smaller, but they possess longer tails than females to distinguish between them. These turtles feature an extended neck with barbells at the end that aid them. Yes.
I want to see a picture of this thing.
Barbells that aid them in sifting through the sand and mud in search of food. Kimberley snake neck turtles are purely carnivorous. They munch on crickets, fish, and crustaceans, and even tadpoles.
This thing looks like a freak.
Kimberley
Look at the neck on that thing.
Well, it's a snake neck. Kimberley. Yep. The Kimberley snake neck turtles face predation from stillwater saltwater crocodiles as well as water monitors.
Predation, horse name.
Predation. That will eat their eggs. Luckily, these turtles have adapted a defense mechanism that deters these threats. You know what that is?
They go into their shell.
That's what most of them. The Kimberley snake neck turtles utilize a gland on their side that will emit noxious odors.
Noxious?
Noxious odors. 7-inch fudge.
Okay.
It emits a noxious odor around them when they feel threatened. The skunk like reflex has earned this turtle the nickname the stinker.
The stinker.
The stinker. I give you the Kimberley snake neck turtle.
Wow. All right. That's pretty good. I wanted one of these as a pet up until you said noxious
the
odors.
The Kimberley snake neck turtle?
I'm out with the odors. I don't want smelly pets.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You have dogs, right? And cats?
Well, yeah. So, well, I think we're extinct on cats at this point.
Oh, the wolf got them?
I do believe the coyotes are. I see a fox around the area, so that might have been the.
We had a fox in our backyard.
And a fox you shall be.
And he left me a little gift.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like a headless chicken or.
No.
What? Just like a plop?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. The fox was running around at baseball last weekend, and you went undefeated. I think he was spotted Saturday morning. So hopefully the fox makes an appearance at the baseball stadium for
the Texas
series.
There are a number of families of fox that live on the campus. There was, I believe there was.
I'd like the legend of just being one fox.
No,
I like the legend.
Multiple.
That goes with that. It's better.
There's a fox.
The fox.
No, okay. You can say the fox, but the fox has got a family.
Well.
He's got cousins that live in other places too.
El Jefe says OSU's, or Boynton is OSU's Kingsbury, likable guy that just isn't a good head coach.
Yeah.
Hard to argue at this point. Where did that one go? There is only one horse race in my life, and Clint is on the call for that
loyalty.
Speaking of which, can we start? Are we going to start whittling down?
We are. I'm going to send the list out.
We need to have rules on this deal.
I think we're just going to let everybody cut. Or should we let people send one through and cut?
I forgot. You have to remind me right now. Is it individual goose or unmolested goose?
Individual goose was last year, and it's just molested, not unmolested.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Individual goose was in the finals last year.
Okay. Pronounced cleavage last year, right?
That also made it through last year, yeah. Yeah. Some of our more recent ones, Predation, Lonesome Wallet, Buzzin', Billy Bad Butt, Balls of Greatness, Mr. Woodcox, Good Chunk, Air Biscuit, Purple Nugget, Humpty Doo Mate, Zebra Muscles, all sorts of stuff. So, so we'll have to definitely eliminate.
Did you put down Booby Hill from yesterday?
Oh, I forgot Booby Hill. Booby Hill.
I heard that. I heard that exchange.
And that one was, that was Josh's, right?
Yeah, I was trying to say Booby Miles. Yeah, it's Booby Miles. Mix it up with Bobby Hill.
I'm yelling at the radio, it's Booby Miles!
Booby Miles, yeah.
And I'm like making the connection of what he was mixing up and just dying.
You want to win, put Booby in.
It's because you from Midland.
You from Midland.
They cheating because they from Midland.
Yeah.
Crazy that Houston cleared out over Kansas relatively easily. Okay.
What?
I don't know. I don't know what that was in reference to. Cleared out over Kansas relatively easy. They could say those things when we last played UT. Okay.
We could say those things when we last played
UT. Isn't every team susceptible to good pitching?
I've seen some teams that are just good pitching hitters. I would say that.
Yeah,
that,
but
hey,
in
that
general,
Florida team last year with Caglione, those guys were good. They hit good pitching. They hit bad pitching. Those guys hit everything.
Spent the day up in Dumas, then tell me that Woodman's aren't rich elite. Three words, Hall of Gold. Thanks for that, Clint. That was from last year's horse race.
But the texture's right. All teams are susceptible to good pitching.
In general.
The texture's not wrong.
Okay, so if we're going battles across sports, good pitching generally beats good hitting.
Yeah.
Good offense in football generally beats good defense.
And I would say because the rules
are slanted towards offense.
Way.
Yes. But good offense in football generally beats good defense. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, I would say good offensive lines usually beat good defensive lines, just going that way.
That is true.
That's typically the case. Basketball is probably the hardest to make a blanket statement on
because you can
have a hot shooting night.
You can run a good shooter out there. It doesn't matter what they do.
Yeah. I mean,
get to Shelly's test. She were about to run that out.
Oh, she said, I didn't need that Google image search today. That turtle is creepy. Shelly.
I had a person stop me. When was it? It was end of last week or this weekend sometime. And they told me it was at the baseball game. It was on Sunday. And a guy asked me, I had young Shelby with me. Mm-hmm. And he asked me if that was Kaylee.
Oh.
And I said, no, this is young Shelby. And he said, I really appreciate and enjoy Kaylee's dailies. I was just like, okay.
Okay.
He was just like, yeah.
Well, that's good. I mean,
I was like, okay.
It's very educational. Very good. Choice leaving tomorrow afternoon after my girls run track meet, hauling livestock to Houston for the show by way of San Antonio so they can cheer at the basketball game. Hopefully they get to do it again Saturday. Hashtag Chuck hates new home, Sneed's horse name. Someone else says, where do we put bets down for the horse race? My money is on Chuck hates new home. We're not going to let Chuck eliminate horses because that would be the first
I might pass that one on. Do we all get like a golden buzzer?
I think so.
I might pass that one on to the finals.
Like these shows.
Right to the finals.
Yeah.
Boom. Chuck hates new home to the finals.
Sneed. Have yourself a great day.
I will. I will see you tomorrow.
The bottom line continues right here on 100.7 Score.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth, this is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Thrilled to be part of your Wednesday. You're listening to The Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app, brought to you as always by our friends at Happy State Bank. You can take that mobile app just about anywhere with you, even listen in Fruitland, Maryland.
Fruitland.
You know anybody from there?
I do not.
I'll let you leave that alone. He's Jamie Lent. I'm Choice Woodman. Clint Scott back behind the glass taking care of us.
If you on your bingo card had words that Jamie is going to start with today, and you had Fruitland, you go ahead and check that off.
That's a pretty good one to have on there. So, yeah. Y'all hit us up. Whatever thoughts, comments, questions you got, bring them in on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Why have you not fired this guy yet?
Nothing
I still
to see
don't
here.
Understand.
Nothing to see.
Do you regret asking him to do you a favor?
Yes.
Jamie, you're showing way too much skin, Clint. So Jamie forgot his little mouse doohickey that goes into the computer so he can have his wireless mouse.
Thank you, Clint.
Clint thought he needed to go Mission Impossible on us.
Do, 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 do.
That was inconspicuous.
You still were on the camera for a moment. You got up too quick.
Huh? Mm-hmm. The floating hand?
Yeah.
The helper hand? It's like the hamburger helper guy just popped up.
Oh,
okay.
I was thinking more of the hand from the Addams Family. What's it called?
Thing.
Thing?
Thing.
Thing. Thing. That was a very aggressive thing into the microphone.
Thing.
Y'all keep hitting us up, whatever you want to, on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. You excited for this 48-team college football Super League that Andy Staples has put out there? Have you seen it by chance?
No, I feel like this is what we're heading towards.
You do think that this is the eventual end product?
Yes.
I do too. I just don't know the timeline on it. Yeah. I think Hack's declared a year and a half. I think it's not near that soon. I think we're still...
I probably would guess a little bit longer than that.
I would guess we're not in the same decade that it happens.
I could see it before that.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think we will get... We've got, obviously, the current contract, because these things all seem to run on contracts. We've got the 24-25 college football playoff 12-team contract. And then we've got whatever's coming up after that, 26 to 31 or whatever it will be. And then I think on the other side of that is when we end up in the super team territory. So if you missed it, this was a couple of days ago. But Andy Staples of, I think he's on three now. He's bounced around several places. He put out his college football Super League, how he would project it. And this is the SEC and the Big Ten basically being the AFC and the NFC. Basically how you'd look at it. And he slotted Texas Tech into the SEC. So he said that five Big 12 teams would make the cut out of next year's grouping. Five Big 12 teams.
Only
that's,
five.
That's Texas Tech, Kansas State, OSU, and West Virginia would go to the SEC. And Utah would go to the Big Ten. Everybody else... left on the outside looking in. Now, ACC schools he had in, Florida State, North Carolina, Notre Dame, Pitt, and Virginia in the Big Ten. SEC schools from the ACC, Clemson, Miami, Virginia Tech, and North Carolina State. I find it hard to believe that Duke and Kansas would be left out of one of these unless we're talking purely football. We're talking purely football.
Like football only.
Yeah, a football-only league, then I could see that happening. But if this is power leagues that have football and basketball included, those two aren't getting left out because of their basketball prowess. Would you be confident, someone asked this question towards the end of the previous show, how confident are you that Texas Tech would be in if there was a scenario like this where it splits off?
I'm probably at like 50% confident.
I think because of the construction you see going on over there, I think that's a part of the reason you're seeing that construction. Yeah, it's to keep up with everything, but you want to make sure you're viewed as one of the powers out there. You want to be looked at like, hey, that's a legit
that's
school
a real
over
deal
there.
Stadium.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think that's part of the reason you're
you
seeing
see all the West Coast Conference schools.
$250 million and
don't spend money on facilities going by the wayside.
Exactly. Yeah. And I've heard from several people who have bounced around to some of the new places in the Big 12 and just kind of been surprised at how behind those schools are. Like going to UCF or going to BYU is probably the one that's not in that category.
Okay.
They seem like they're up to date with Big 12 standards on facilities and that sort of thing. But yeah, I think I don't
so
I,
what
I think
are,
I'm a
what,
little more confident than you. Not
do we know what rules we're playing by in this here little event?
This here little
48 team.
Are there rules?
Are there rules? I mean, are we full on pay for play? Are we?
Oh, I would assume we're there by then. By the time that we get to that, I think we're full on pay for play. And I'm guessing there's caps and contracts and everything once you get there. They have to put in contracts and salary caps when we get to the pay for play, right?
I don't know,
Joyce. You got to. I mean, who was it? Charlie Baker, the head of the NCAA, is one of the one
but
that said
that.
You
don't have to. I mean, Major League Baseball doesn't.
But they put taxes on it, at least.
Okay.
I guess you could put
taxes. Put taxes. Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
You're right.
I
contracts.
Mean,
I prefer it
the way that, you know, with the leagues that have a salary cap to try to keep things equal. I like that better. But it's not what Major League Baseball does, and they seem to be still making money.
You're a Yankees fan. You prefer it that way? Your team spends all the money in the world. Was that wasn't intended as a shot. I was legitimately asking.
Let's not forget the team that just won the World Series and how much money
I'm on that side of it. Yeah. I don't like the
yeah.
Because
let's,
again,
let's not act like the Yankees are the only team in baseball.
That was
that
not
has
meant
sky
as an arrogant. Oh yeah, you're a Yankees. No, it was meant. I'm with you. I don't in baseball. I don't prefer it because my team's able to spend money and buy a team. Heck, I guess I don't like it in football because. If my Dallas Cowboys could spend all the money they wanted, they would probably be the best team out there.
What if as a Royals fan, I was like hardcore, like no salary cap, Wild West, spend all the money.
Teams like that wouldn't exist.
Yeah,
because they make money off the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Rangers and whoever who overspend, and that luxury tax money goes to pay for their salaries. Those teams wouldn't, Minnesota and Milwaukee and Kansas City wouldn't even have teams if it wasn't for them.
You're right. We'll continue this conversation, get some of your thoughts coming up. It is the bottom line on 100.7.
Bringing you the truth or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Thrilled to be part of your Wednesday. You're listening to the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Fox 34 News now on your TV. YouTube channel. Just that passionate about YouTube.
That's good.
Just search the Double T Sports Network if you want to take us in that way. However, wherever you're joining us from, we're glad that you've made us part of your Wednesday, March the 6th. You know, current contracts can be dissolved real quick when better contracts are offered for all involved. I think it happens in 3 to 4 years.
I think that's kind of closer to where I am.
Mm-hmm. 3 to 4 years?
Yeah.
But I think, regardless if you think there's a cap or not, I do think there will be contracts where you see guys supposed to stay for more than 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get into, okay, will there be trades? I don't know how deep it goes into true professionalism, but we're on our way. We're on our way.
So am I the biggest idiot ever that's ever been a Red Raider fan if I told you it wouldn't break my heart if you weren't in this group?
I'm deciding whether you're the biggest idiot ever or not.
Yeah.
Or idiot.
Yeah.
Tell me what would be good about it, about not being one of the haves instead of being a have not.
I just don't want to live in that world where college athletes are full-time, fully paid athletes, and I don't want to live in a world where you're in conferences for football only, and all your other teams are playing in a different conference.
Well, I think
that does not sound fun to me at all.
I think there's some naivete to you thinking that it wouldn't go down.
We're just mispronouncing every word we can in this segment. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah. I do think it would be naive of you to think that it wouldn't trickle down. So it would just be at a smaller scale, the same thing going on in the lower league. That's what I think would happen. The people that aren't in, they're still doing the contracts, they're still doing things, but just at a smaller scale, a minor league level. So
okay.
That's my thinking. Could be completely different. Maybe the NCAA survives. I think once...
Would we still have the transfer portal?
I bet. I think that's hanging around. That's not going away. That's where the contracts, I would hope, would help things. It's like, hey, he signed on for 2 years at Texas Tech. You can't leave till after that. Oh, sorry. These kind of conversations, I know it, fully make Jamie sour. And I get it. I get it, because I...
Yeah, because I feel like I'm... I mean, I've been called all the things. Just old and...
All the things.
Just, you know, hater of change and... I'm trying to hold these kids down and Uncle Upright and, you know.
I haven't heard that one in a while.
Yeah, I mean, I've been called all the things. And I'm not even going to try to tell you that most of them aren't true.
I know who I am.
I just it feels different to me when I don't know that the 18-year-old college kid, 19, 20-year-old college kid that I'm rooting for, it feels different to me when he's making large, large sums of money. Like, my expectations of him are higher. It's just a different, like, oh, that's a good story, you know. Oh, that kid, he's working hard to get better, whatever. It feels like, okay, well, this guy's been given this much. Yeah, he better be good. Kind of a feel to it, like when you draft a rookie quarterback and he suddenly is, you know, back before they had it slotted in how much rookies could make, and suddenly he's the highest paid guy on the team, and the rest of his team's going, he's never stepped on the field for us.
Sure.
And now he's being paid more than everybody else. And so it just, like, there's like, I feel like there's like this transition of the way it works, and then you earn your way and all the above, and it's changed. I get it. Okay. And so I feel like I'm moving there. We're doing things and all that good stuff. And now we've moved, and now you're telling me we're going to move again. It's just going to keep going. It's
constant. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just gonna
honestly,
I mean, at some point, are we just going to stop asking them to go to class? Are we going to stop asking them to, I mean, are they going to keep playing for the college, or, I mean, is,
don't know.
I mean, they're going to go by Texas Tech, or are we just going to have minor league football? I mean, I don't know. What?
The Lubbock Matadors.
I do think, like, with part of the seeing, hey, now this kid, you know, is making all of this much, and I wonder how close we are to actually seeing, we know for sure this is the amount this kid is making per year sort of thing. When you get into that territory, I've always viewed, and I think most people have, the NFL to the college side, when you go to the passion of the fan base and like the life or death, it leans way more into the college atmosphere. And I wonder if that plays a part of it when you look at, well, that's why it's not that way in the NFL. Sure, you may be a diehard Cowboys fan. You may be a diehard Giants, whatever it is, it's still different on the college level. But I think as you merge those two, where they're basically the same and no longer are they two different worlds, I think that like passion and that like, well, that guy went to the same classes that I did sort of feel like that just completely dissipates and melts into each other and you lose what made college football special.
I don't disagree with any of that.
Good stuff, Clint.
You, the stuff you're talking about, where you're talking about all the changes, there's a reason that the NFL is as successful as it is. It's probably the most structured league out there. You have rule after rule, and I mean, like what you're talking about, rookies can only make a certain amount of money based off your draft slot. These sorts of things. Right. There has to be rules piled on in place, and then we're talking about, okay, if you have a 48 team league or 64 or whatever that number looks like, you got to have a commissioner over it.
You would think so.
You can't have just two leagues fighting each other for rules. You have to have one commissioner over everything. And it just ultimately it feels like it's trending towards professionalism, major professionalism. But I don't know. I don't know what we end up at. Someone says, Jamie, I just can't tell how great it was for my son and I to listen to you and Gus yesterday and listen to Hacks and Level last night while we were just chilling. Your voice is what we'll always associate with Tech Baseball. It's from Lindale Jeff.
Wow, Jeff, that's quite a compliment.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
That was awesome.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, let's finish the segment.
I'm glad you got to hear a win.
Yeah, that was the typical trip to Albuquerque, right? As far as the baseball side of things, that felt like just...
Yeah, that had Albuquerque written all over it with get a big lead, blow a big lead, you know, just some craziness with some balls that, you know, I just felt like New Mexico caught a bunch of breaks being just really late on some fastballs and just placing them perfectly that led to a couple of their bigger innings and just had, oh, man, how are we going to let this one slide again?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of feel to it, and then somebody made a big play. Kudos to
and you got good
Dylan
pitching
Maxey.
Down the stretch too.
And you saw Coach Tadlock basically say, "Hey, we really don't want to lose this game."
Yeah.
And he went with some guys that he had, you know, felt pretty confident about. At the same time, I feel like two of the guys, and Zane Petty and Jacob Rogers, hadn't been thrown great, but I thought they both looked good yesterday. Not perfect, but they both looked good yesterday. Step in the right direction.
Agreed.
And they were a part of the win. They were a part of, you know, you coming from behind to get the win. So that was nice.
We'll talk some more baseball. Get to some basketball thoughts as well. Bracketology, the latest on that front. Also, new stadium renderings out in Las Vegas. All of that still to come. Got a question of the day coming up next on 100.7 The Score. I'm just that passionate about you two.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Appreciate you joining us on a Wednesday. You're listening to Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. This is just a Lift Jamie Up hour. Love listening to Hacks Dog. It says Hack Dog, but that'll work too. And Jamie on the baseball calls. They are the best. I like Hack Dog better.
Hack Dog.
That's got to be a horse name too.
Surely
Hack Dog.
He meant Hacks Dog, but Hack Dog has a different feel to it, but it's pretty funny.
Hack Dog.
I was disappointed that you haven't adopted Humpty Doo after wins yet.
Humpty Doo.
Humpty Doo.
Is that what I said?
Mate.
Humpty Doo. Mate.
I was waiting for it. It didn't happen.
Mate.
I forgot all about that.
No. All right, let's get to a question.
Time now for Jamie's question of the day.
Did you guys hear my question this morning?
I did because I know I was in the car at 7:30, but I don't remember it.
because I really liked my question this morning.
So you're going to repeat.
I have another one. I'm sure I had an answer. Okay, well, this is double question of the day. I'm going to ask. We're going to repeat, and then we're going to do the other one too. Okay.
I'll hit my it twice. Segment.
I'm doing whatever I want. I'm going to ask as many questions as I want.
It's like under trial over here, man.
I know. Okay.
Question number one, I ask of you. You cannot answer.
Oh, I do remember it now.
The Red Raider basketball team to win the conference tournament.
Nope.
If you could guarantee one thing for the conference tournament and the Big 12, what would you guarantee?
I already heard your answer, and it's the cheating answer, so kind of.
See, this I should have never
asked. It's the legalistic one. No, but my answer initially when I heard you ask it this morning was just a simple guarantee me Warren Washington gets healthy and ready for the NCAA tournament. So I don't even know if that means he plays in the conference tournament, but that's what my guarantee.
The only thing that I would say is not great about your answer is that I want him to play. I want him to kick the rust off.
Kick the rust off, yeah.
Okay, so my answer, Clint, was that Warren Washington would play and come out healthy in all three games that you play. So I've kind of cheated there because I said all three games, meaning you made it to at least the championship. Okay, and I said Warren Washington comes out healthy.
So is this just for Texas Tech, or can it be the entire Big 12 championship?
Yeah, because I think Jeff's answer was that neither OU or Texas play in the championship game.
Yeah, guarantee me Oklahoma State wins the whole thing. That would be anarchy.
Oh, that would actually
be fun. And it would
be
hilarious. It would be the funniest outcome. Who is now missing the tournament from the Big 12, or do you get 10 in? That would be bonkers good.
Because right now, it's either Texas or OU who are the last team in from the Big 12.
Maybe.
Right now, it's those two teams that will be fighting for. They may
hang on to that thought for tell me spot. I'm wrong later.
Oh, man. Ooh. I actually would choose West Virginia over OSU. I don't know. I think either would be intriguing because of their coach situation.
That's where I go Oklahoma State because Boynton feels like he is – because it's a first-year guy taking over for a legend. And with him, it's not going to be that like – I could see that being an easy decision for them to go like, hey, this really wasn't ever the plan. But with Boynton, he's been there a while. They love him there. This would make that decision so much more difficult and maybe even just save his job. Tournament.
It would be Cliff Kingsbury beating Texas all over again where you extend it just by winning that one game. Except this would be. I do love the idea of the anarchy that would come.
The idea. I just don't want it to happen to Oklahoma State. What if they just went on this long run and were up like 16 at halftime in the championship game and lost on a buzzer beater three?
To who?
Texas Tech. Okay. Not Kansas.
Well,
you said we couldn't pick Texas Tech.
I think as it sits right now, Tech is on the same side of the bracket as OSU. No, we'll see. We'll see what happens Saturday. Okay, there's question one.
All right. I apologize for repeating.
Time now for Jamie's question of the day.
I like
that. Don't we have a line that says Jamie's other question of the day?
Come on, Clint. Try it again.
Time now for Jamie's other question of the day.
Did you guys hear the PA announcer yesterday in Albuquerque? Did you hear him real well?
No, I couldn't hear him.
He was
goofy.
He's annoying.
Have a little too much Christmas sauce on his enchiladas?
No, it was like he was trying too hard to be PA boy Sky. He was just annoying.
Anyway, clear his throat into the mic before he said something?
Gavin Cash up to bat.
I mean, he was like way too funny. Ladies and gentlemen, now pinch hitting for the Red Raiders. I'm like, chill out, dude. It's really? Baseball. This is not the opera.
The opera.
Okay. All right, second question.
I hate when those two get mixed up. It happens all the time. I show up in a tuxedo, and I'm like, wait a minute. I was supposed to bring a glove and like a hat.
I think I'm prone to, if I'm just going to be completely honest with you right now, I'm just going to That's funny. Rick Gilbert just walked by.
PA guys.
Yeah. I think I'm prone to being somewhat annoyed by PA guys because I have such a terrible voice, and they all have great ones.
They all have great voices. That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
So they all just, I'm just jealous of all of them. Okay. So the question is, somebody said they had announcers for the opera who do. I don't know. Just
next on the solo stage, Benjamin Hinkle, starting soprano.
Two things that have to happen. Don't tell me win two games. For the Red Raiders to win this baseball series this weekend. Two things that have to happen.
Okay.
Just don't claim.
Leave them alone. Leave them alone.
Win the first game and then win either the second or third game. I don't like that you ask questions and then give us rules of what we can't answer. This used to be a free place.
There used to be
no boundaries.
Until you got here, Clint. Until you were around. Man, I think your team ERA has to be less than 4. Nah. Less than 4.5.
Okay, well. There.
Team,
let's just say runs allowed, okay, has to be less than a certain amount. Because you could have a low team ERA and
sure.
your defense stink
it. And then your pitchers throw it around.
And Josh Sanders throws it over.
Into center field. fine. We'll say then how much is the average of what I just said? What's 4.5
times?
Well,
4.5 times 3 is 13.5.
Thank you. Well, I was going ERA, so we'll allow. You need to allow less than 15 runs for the weekend if you're going to win the series.
Okay.
Because I think they're going to have good pitching, despite what's happened in recent games. I think Texas. I see Texas, and I see good pitching. That's what mm-hmm. what's synonymous there. So I think less than 15 runs allowed this weekend, and I think the man. It's all pitching and defense based in my head. I think the other thing that needs to go well for you is you need to hit at least 250 with runners in scoring position for the whole weekend.
Okay. I
think you do both of those things, I would say you're winning 2 out of 3 games.
Okay.
I think you're going to have 2 good extended starts on any of the days. My first one. And then it's almost the same of what Choice was saying, but the opposite side. I think you're going to have to average over the weekend 6 runs scored for okay. the 3 games.
Okay.
As a baseline.
I'm going to start with Friday starter. I think it is so incredibly yeah. important for Kyle Robinson to go deep into Friday's game. Okay. If he's not going to go deep, get blown out. Because if he doesn't go deep and you use up all your quality bullpen arms or 2 or 3 of your big quality bullpen arms and you lose that game, then you're going to have a hard time winning on Saturday and Sunday.
Yep.
So I feel like Kyle needs to be an ace. He needs to get through 6 innings. He needs to give you a chance to run Ryan Free out there to just finish it on his own after that and save bullpen arms. I think the other thing is I think your catchers need to control the run game. I'm nervous without Bazell that will be difficult to do. So your pitchers play into this as well. But I think you have to control the run game of Texas because I think they'll be very aggressive on the base paths.
This has been the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 100-7thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.